Welcome to the Accredited Canadians Toolkit. In this episode for Tuesday, January 23rd, 2024, I'm your host, Sam Perrin. Today, I am traveling to take advantage of inefficient markets. I have been to Prince George and back twice in the past couple months, both times carpooling with my dad to pick up a truck that I won in the BC Auction Asset Recovery Program. It was a nice time to visit while we were driving together because while we were stuck in the vehicle, it was almost 14 hours each day. So this time, although he's willing, I decided it would be better that I fly. So I'm just finishing this episode as we land here in Prince George at approximately 10 a.m. I've been doing this traveling as part of solving a problem where I've got staff, and retaining good staff has been difficult. So I'm both on the construction and on the management side, and I've increased wages, I've supplied benefits and a phone allowance, but this was an idea that I thought would really keep them close to me and not be looking for another job. So I have been paying some mileage to staff for the use of their personal vehicles, but I would still hear grumbling occasionally about the wear and tear that they're incurring despite having a generous vehicle allowance. So I tried at first giving one of my longest serving staff a vehicle, and I'm surprised how happy he's been with me supplying that truck to use despite losing the kilometer rate that I've been paying him for use of his personal vehicle. He's lately been proudly showing me where he's sanded and painted some of the rust spots. He keeps it really clean. He's even cleaned and sprayed the engine to make it look nice, and he's generally quite happy with the truck. The morale boost was actually an unexpected benefit. So there's a real need for reliable transportation in my business because there's frequent trips to the different buildings and the building supply stores for parts. There's appliances to move, there's dump runs to make, and trailers to pull around. So initially, the fleet was only my electric car and one newer F-150 that my assistant was using. But when we got the new F-250, it really proved to be great. So when I decided to purchase, I'll walk you through the thinking process I had in expanding the fleet. I decided to purchase more vehicles for the company, and I considered many different kinds of vehicles, new and old. And I've settled on building a fleet of third generation F-250s that have the 6.2 V8 gasoline engine. And those engines are called affectionately the Boss engine to its fans. It's a large truck, it's very heavy, and I'm told that it's a pleasure to drive in the snow by my staff because it just plows through. It's got a very large payload and towing capacity, but it's small enough to avoid some of the more cumbersome registration requirements of the one ton or the larger trucks, which includes annual maintenance, inspections, and certifications. The Boss engine is renowned for its reliability and was so popular when it was purchased that parts are readily available today, and there's a lot of room under the hood for mechanics to work on it, and it makes maintenance costs much cheaper than a diesel engine. It's a big, slow truck with a decent safety rating, so it's less likely to get in any serious collisions. Because it's big, everyone on the road can see it, and because it's slow, my employees won't be tempted to speed or drive aggressively because the ride at higher speeds in that truck is rough. Gasoline is cheaper than diesel, so the premium on both the cost of purchasing a vehicle with a diesel engine and on the maintenance wasn't worth it for me. And I've owned Chevy, Dodge, Toyota, and Ford trucks, and the nicest thing, they're all fine trucks, the nicest thing about a Ford is that it's, so many have been sold, it's the best-selling truck in North America, I think, or maybe even the best-selling vehicle. And so there's such a large, readily available supply of parts. Technicians are familiar with the vehicle because it's the most common one. This is another benefit of having standardization and how that works in my favor by choosing the Ford brand. It's ubiquitous. It's everywhere. So once I decided on the truck that I wanted, and after reading owner reviews and repair forums and making my decision, I started shopping. I found dealerships and private sellers were asking for about $25,000 for a decent 10-year-old F-250 in the low 100,000 kilometer range. So there was even a medium trim F-250 that was about 5 years old with that kind of mileage, and it was $39,000. So the problem with buying a new truck or a newer truck is threefold. First, it depreciates quickly in the first few years. So it's a bad way to purchase transportation if you're buying new, unless you hold that vehicle until it's basically scrap metal. And that way you can amortize that high price over the entire life of the vehicle. Otherwise, you're giving a gift to the next owner when you sell it because you've eaten all that depreciation. Secondly, a new vehicle or any new equipment relies a large outlay of capital. And whether it's financed or it's in cash, the payments are a drag. And the capital used to purchase that equipment has an opportunity cost attached to it. Third, when owned by a company, the cost takes a long time to write off against the business income. You can only depreciate the vehicle on your taxes 30% a year. Now, I have purchased a new truck a couple of years ago, but I just bought it out of its lease. I leased it first, and by doing that, I avoided the extra 3% tax, luxury tax on vehicles that are over $55,000. So it would have brought the GST PST up to 15% instead of 12%. But by leasing it, I was able to write off the entire cost of the lease payment immediately for the first 2 years of ownership. But I did pay a premium for having a lease because of there's some financing costs and fees, and that means that I paid approximately $10,000 over MSRP over that 2 year period. It was a 14% premium over MSRP. So I also recently purchased brand new a electric vehicle just 8 months ago, and I did that because the government has been offering incentives for people to adopt electric vehicles, and they're going to allow my business to write off that entire cost of that vehicle in the first year of ownership. And I decided to purchase an electric vehicle because after doing the math, I saw that the cost of my transportation using an electric vehicle and my experience over the first 9 months of ownership is that I've spent about $6,000 in electricity over that time. No, sorry, I've misstated that. So I've spent about $2,000 so far. So over the next 2 years, I'm going to spend roughly $6,000 in electricity. So the cost to purchase the vehicle plus the electricity for the first 2 years is going to be roughly $100,000. So I did the math, and that's half charging at home at 15 cents a kilowatt hour and half charging at superchargers at roughly 38 cents a kilowatt hour. And that includes some winter tires. So I've spent about $100,000 to buy this electric car, the Tesla Model Y, if you're curious. It's got a 160,000 kilometer powertrain warranty. So I'll own that, but based on how many kilometers I'll drive, I'll own this car for almost 4 years before I get a major expense like a battery or a motor replacement. So I've read about some owners driving these electric cars maybe 1 million miles in their Tesla. So that's a lot of kilometers, and the cost of ownership over time if I hold this car should be very low. Now, if you compare a similar sized and option car to the Tesla Model Y that I bought, a 7-seater like what I got, it'll cost about $37,000 in fuel and maintenance. And there's going to be about a $56,000 purchase price. So all in, roughly, it's going to be about $100,000 to own that car in the first 2 years. So the next 2 years, if gasoline and electricity costs remain the same, electricity is going to be $6,000 for the years 3 and 4, and gasoline will be approximately $40,000. So I should see a pretty big savings starting after the second year of ownership of the electric car compared to if I'd bought a gasoline car, an ICE car, internal combustion engine car. So that's the real benefit of the electric vehicle, is the promised lower costs of maintenance over the long term. Anyway, I found my favorite truck, this F-250, third generation F-250, to be quite expensive when searching at dealerships or on the private sites like Facebook Marketplace or Kijiji or Craigslist, because private sellers want to recapture some of the depreciation they've suffered, and dealers want to turn a profit of a few thousand dollars per vehicle or more. So I've had success at some auctions in the past where dealerships purchased their vehicles, and I started to look, but the vehicle I wanted, this F-250, was nowhere to be found. I found there was a lot of Ford trucks in the Prairie provinces, but the travel and uncertainty involved when making a purchase that far away, it would take, 2 days out of my, to travel on a longer trip, and buying something from afar adds a lot of uncertainty. So it makes that discounted price not really worthwhile, buying something so far away. So in addition to that, importing a vehicle into the province is complicated because the vehicle needs to be insured in 2 jurisdictions or more if you're driving the vehicle into the province. If you're going to be shipping the vehicle, that's $1,500 or $2,000 minimum. And when you import a vehicle into the British Columbia, there's PST and there's inspections, and any mandatory repairs need to be done and paid up front. And if there's a serviceable vehicle with a crack in the windshield that isn't in the driver's sight line, that might be a requirement to have that repaired before you can register and insure it in the province if you import the vehicle. Whereas if it's already a BC registered vehicle, you can ignore that cracked windshield and when you take ownership. So I like to have a little more control over what maintenance items I look after. Of course, any safety issues I get dealt with right away, tires or brakes or whatever. But there's an added expense and risk for importing a vehicle, and the premium that the dealerships command can make it worth the convenience to purchase from them. But I still felt that it was too much money to buy these third generation F-250s from the dealership. So I discovered in my search that there's a place that only deals with government fleet vehicles. And the nice thing about government vehicles is that they have a well-documented maintenance history, and you know the vehicle wasn't abused if you avoid vehicles that were used as emergency vehicles. Fleet vehicles are typically the lowest trim, and they might have crank up windows and physical switches and shifters, but those are all easy to maintain and repair components. So these fleet vehicles come equipped a lot of the time with stuff you might want in your business, rails and headache racks and a dry box, to help you handle loads that you're transporting. There might be dented and dinged, but these extras would cost a lot of money, brand new, thousands of savings having them come with the truck. So as these government fleet vehicles are sold off, they're usually sold off at around 10 years old, and the public is able to bid on these trucks and purchase them at the auction. And in some cases, I've been able to purchase these trucks at about half of what the dealership would sell them for. So now I've got two 2024 F-250 4x4 trucks. They've got about 130,000 kilometers each. And I'm about to purchase a 2012 F-250 with 180,000 kilometers. The cost of this truck and taxes is going to be approximately $12,000. My flight was $500. There's a day of travel time and the fuel to drive it down from Prince George to Kamloops, and that's roughly $1,000. The tune-up is scheduled for next week. That could cost $2,000. But and by adding this fifth vehicle to the fleet, I'm going to qualify for fleet insurance. And that could have typically a savings of 30%, according to my broker. So by adding this vehicle, it's actually going to save me about $1,000 per year in insurance. Three of my staff now each have a company vehicle. And by having a spare for my other staff to share, I've saved some money. I've reduced the risk of downtime due to mechanical issues now that I've got a spare truck that can be used. And I now have a fleet of vehicles I can use in the business or potentially sell them off at any time. And each of those vehicles could be sold at a profit because of the way that I purchased them. And the lesson, I guess, that I'm trying to share in this episode is that every market has inefficiencies in them. And I was able to build my fleet at a discount by finding the inefficiencies in this market. And by finding those inefficiencies and exploiting them, you can do quite well. No one in any market has perfect information, and that's especially true for hard assets. So by taking time to dive into the weeds like I have with these third generation F-250 Super Duty trucks, you can use your knowledge to make money. Once you apply your skills to one market, you can transition that and apply it to another. So I like it when arbitrage works out in real estate deals that I've purchased because there's a much larger dollar figure and the profits to be gleaned from the market inefficiencies in real estate deals is not in the thousands or tens of thousands of dollars, but rather can be in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. And that's made me and my investors and shareholders very happy. So I hope this story has inspired you to think about how you can make use of market inefficiencies to make a profit. As you think about this episode of the ACT Show, I don't only wish you a great day, I invite you to act. You'll be surprised at your results.